Blog Talk Radio.
I'm lucky to have a face. I was born under Aries the Ram.
That sounds like the unknown Scottish poet, William McGonagall.
Come in, unknown Scottish poet, William McGonagall.
Your Majesty, your humble Scottish servant.
That is correct. He is my most humble Scottish servant.
Oh, and who are you?
I am Queen Victoria. And I am very big in England.
Oh, Your Majesty, Queen Victoria. I'm sorry I did not recognize you the moment that I saw you. But now I've seen you, you look a fine queen. The finest I've ever seen.
Kneel.
Kneeling, Your Majesty.
Hand me my dubber, Mr. Brown.
Oh, this is a great honor, Your Majesty.
I dub thee, Mister. Arise, Mr. William McGonagall, poet laureate.
Oh, congratulations, Your Majesty. Me, poet laureate. Oh, sir, Tennyson will have something to say about this.
Not just at the moment. It's a bad time for me, actually. Come to the garden, Maud, for the black that night hath flown. Come to the garden, Maud. I am here at the gate alone. I am here at the gate alone. Happy, darling.
Mr. McGonagall, what is it to be?
I blame a card, right? Well, Your Majesty, I thought perhaps an excerpt from my famous poem, The Miraculous Escape of a Fireman Robert Allen from the Burning Warehouse in Bosworth Street in Glasgow, would do Your Majesty a power of good.
No, I would much prefer it were we to have a song.
Then I wrote, I'm a rat-boy boy from Dublin tune.
You courted a girl named Biddy Brown.
Her eyes were as black.
You courted a girl named Biddy Brown.
Her eyes were as black and thick as snow.
She had red hair.
And that's all I know.
One night you caught her with another lad.
His eyes, Biddy Brown, have cut you it up.
So with your darling
Chanelie, I gave him time.
Which let him count upon his back.
Just here go off the sack,
Jim Crack.
Shall we dance, Your Majesty?
No!
I can hear Albert on his organ.
Hello and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I am Pam Ray, and I hope everyone is having a fabulous week so far and an even better one to come in the next few days, because, you know, that's what we always hope. And tonight I have with me a co-host known as, who's very well known by this point, Weaver of Dreams, a.k.a. Kate. And hello, Kate. How's
Hello,
it going?
My dear. It's going wonderfully, thank you. They put the clock back, so it doesn't seem quite so early in the morning for me now. It's not 3 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, which is great.
Well, there you go. There you go. That helps. That helps.
Yeah.
I tell you, we don't have, our clocks don't go back, I think. When do our clocks go back? Pretty soon, but they haven't yet.
Do you use the old saying to remind you, that saying which is what, spring forward, fall back? Yeah, so handy.
We do, yes. Yep, it's very handy. We do use that. Yep, so I know that at some point pretty soon I'm going to be falling back. And, well, I tell you, I really enjoy that intro. You know, it wasn't, you know, as much of a song as we usually have, but it was so perfect because that was actually a little tidbit from the 1974 movie The Great McGonagall, with Spike Milligan playing the Great McGonagall, or William McGonagall, the poet who we're featuring for being inspired by. And Peter Sellers as Queen Victoria. And it was just really amusing. And yes, absolutely. I am looking forward to tonight's show, delving into the poetry. You and I, we ran a couple of fun contests where we offered up the poetry of William McGonagall as prompts and told people they could be inspired by any part or the general vibe. And we told them to give us their most cheesiest, corniest, McGonagallish poetry they could come up with. So now, with that being said, Kate, why don't you tell us a little bit about William McGonagall and what appeals to about him to people over the years?
Well, he's been ridiculed most definitely all of his life, I think. He was never considered to be a particularly good poet by people who consider themselves to be poets. Basically, he didn't have any idea about meter or anything like that, alliteration. Basically, he thought poetry was a case of every other line had to rhyme. Didn't matter how long or short. That was his idea of poetry. I think he's wonderful. I've got a book of all of his work. I think he's absolutely amazing, but he wasn't considered to be particularly good in the days when he was trying so hard, because he's such an earnest man. But yeah, he was honestly, he was considered to be terrible. I just can't be helped. Yes, I like him.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and if nothing else, you got to admire somebody who just as it was said of him, he seemed to not give a damn about any opinions of his poetry from his friends or family. He just decided to be himself. But yes, he has been basically voted for as, not officially voted, but he's recognized as the worst poet in history who's had a only thing, as you said, that they recognize, that he recognized for poetry is that it had to rhyme for some reason.
Yeah.
But yes, definitely fun to see how people decided to be influenced by him. And all right, and I will go. We do actually do have one caller. I will go ahead and bring them on, and I'd like to welcome area code 418. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
Whoops, Naomi, and I used my wrong number. I'm gonna phone back.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm sorry,
but I realized it was you. I want to keep you holding. I'll be sorry. All right. Well, that was Naomi calling in by the wrong number, but she's going to be joining us shortly. And we do have another caller. I'd like to welcome Laurent Yvonne. Welcome, Laurent. Glad you could join us.
Well, thank you very much, Pam. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. You too. So did you get a chance? Have you ever had a chance to read any of William McGonagall's poetry?
Today I read a couple of the pieces. He's unique.
He is.
Yes.
Well, yeah, he basically became like a cult figure. You know, one of those that are so bad they're good. And
I was really wondering about his style when I started reading it. I figured, well, I'll get into it a little later. didn't have a chance, unfortunately.
Yeah, I get that. And welcome back, Naomi. Glad you could be here.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, I just, you know, like I said, if I'd known it was you, I wouldn't have kept you on hold. But you know.
A champion said 418. I said, oh, my gracious, I phoned on my home, you know, my home number, and I didn't use Skype. So I said, oh,
yep, yeah. And that phone call would add up.
Oh, wouldn't it? Mm. Hi, Naomi. Hello, Naomi.
Hello.
How are you,
hello. My darling? Oh, still coughing.
Oh, no,
my gracious,
really?
this
oh.
Pneumonia is really hanging on, yeah.
Oh.
Hi, and hi, Laura.
Bonsoir.
Hi, Laurent. Laurent.
Hello.
I love your name. Hi, Laurent. I can't say it properly, but I love it.
Yeah, I always say I wanted to design clothes when I was young.
Ah, there, you see, I wear Primark.
I like it.
Just call me Prime. Ah, good new name, Prime. Sorry. Please carry on. sensible people.
I'm guessing since we have quite a bit.
I'm sorry, my mother's private horror when we came to this country was the fact that instead of people calling me Laurent or Lohal, they called me Larry.
Oh, no. That's just horrible. Oh.
I'm sorry, I digress. Go on, please.
You're allowed to digress. It's not a problem. I'm actually called Catherine.
Yeah, I'll probably be a little digressing.
And I don't like Catherine at all, but yeah, I understand.
All right, well, since we've got quite a bit of poetry on the board, why don't we go ahead and put up the classic intro poem, Weaver?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was on mute. I do apologize. Just give me a moment. Oh, dear.
Sure, no problem.
This is just the start, isn't it? This is just wonderful. I forgot what I was doing. I was having so much fun. Not a good idea, Catherine. I'm chastising myself. Here we are. We'll be there in a moment. Oh, ta-da-ta-da. Here we are, the Taybridge disaster. And you have a SoundCloud, yeah?
We do, yes. We have a recording of it. So here we go.
Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay. Alas, I am very sorry to say that 90 lives have been taken away on the last Sabbath day of 1879, which will be remembered for a very long time. 'Twas about 7 o'clock at night, and the wind blew with all its might, and the rain came pouring down, and the dark clouds seemed to frown, and the demon of the air seemed to say, I'll blow down the bridge of Tay. When the train left Edinburgh, the passengers' hearts were light and felt no sorrow. But Boreas blew a terrific gale, which made their hearts for fear to quail, and many of the passengers with fear did say, I hope God will send us safe across the bridge of Tay. But when the train came near to Wormit Bay, Boreas he did loud and angry bray, and shook the central girders of the bridge of Tay, on the last Sabbath day of 1879, which will be remembered for a very long time. So the train sped on with all its might, and Bonnie Dundee soon hove in sight, and the passengers' hearts felt light, thinking they would enjoy themselves on the new year, with her friends at home they loved most dear, and wish them all a happy new year. So the train moved slowly along the bridge of Tay until it was about midway. Then the central girders with a crash gave way, and down went the train and passengers into the Tay. The storm fiend did loudly bray, because 90 lives had been taken away on the last Sabbath day of 1879, which will be remembered for a very long time. As soon as the catastrophe came to be known, the alarm from mouth to mouth was blown, and the cry rang out all over the town. Good heavens, the Tay Bridge is blown down, and a passenger train from Edinburgh, which filled all the people's hearts with sorrow and made them for to turn tail, because none of the passengers were saved to tell the tale how the disaster happened on the last Sabbath day of 1879, which will be remembered for a very long time. Oh, it must have been an awful sight to witness in the dusky moonlight, while the storm fiend did laugh and angry did bray along the railway bridge of the Silvery Tay. Oh, ill-fated bridge of the Silvery Tay, I must now conclude my lay by telling the world fearlessly, without the least dismay, that your central girders would not have given way, at least many sensible men do say, had they been supported on each side with buttresses. At least many sensible men confesses. For the stronger we our houses do build, the less chance we have of being killed.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. It has been the ruin of many poor girls and me, oh Lord, for one. If I had listened what Mama said, I'd have been young and foolish, oh Lord, I let a gambler lead me astray. My mother is a tailor. She sews those new blue jeans. My sweetheart is a gambling man, drinks down in New Orleans. Well, the only thing a gambler needs is a suitcase and a trunk, and the only time.
Okay, well, I guess that's what I get for not listening to an entire recording. I'm pretty sure that last minute or so was not the Tay Bridge disaster.
No.
But
no.
It was beautiful sounding, but I don't know where that suddenly went to. Very interesting. Oh, I know. That was the House of the Rising Sun. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, isn't that quite a laugh? Oh, wow.
Hey,
I apologize.
Me. That's okay. It was lovely. I liked to listen to it. It was good.
Yes, it was. It was. And that was, the first part of that was the Tay Bridge disaster by William McGonagall. And it is known as one of his examples of what is known as his worst poem ever, and was frequently made fun of, as you can tell from but he did have an enthusiastic way of writing, that's for sure. What do you think, Naomi? Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to understand, because they say that if his poem had never been written, that the bridge would have never fallen, so that it did fall, or were they just making fun of that, of the whole situation?
They were just making fun of him.
Okay,
it was like an ongoing joke. According to the chairman, yeah, the bridge would never have fallen if this poem had not been written. But the poem was written after the bridge had already fallen.
Okay. So the bridge did fall, and that's what he was writing about. Okay. Well, you know, of course the rhyme takes away from all the tragic feeling that must have been, you know, with a bridge falling, you know, like all the disaster. The rhyme really takes away from the tragedy of it all. And then the way he ended it, you know, for the stronger we our houses do build, the less chance we have of being killed. You know, I mean, you know, to finish off such a serious situation with two lines like that is like, you know, well, you know, well, it speaks for itself. But, you know, but he does, you know, and I don't know who read the poem, but wow, it was a great reading of the poem. And it was, but, you know, it's a great, great rhyme, great flow all through, and very captivating, I found. You know, I was captivated by the whole thing, but of course, you know, the rhyming and, you know, those last two lines, I mean, you know, they just killed the whole poem, the whole tragic that's supposed to be the reciting of the poem, the whole situation just killed it for me, so, yeah. I see why it was made fun of. So, but captivating tale, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. He was actually considered to be the one of the best accidental humorists in history.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Kate. You were going to say.
So I do want to say, just to clear it up, the actor reading the poem was John Laurie, who was in Dad's Army, Scottish chap. He's a well-known Scottish actor of his time, but that's who was reading that
poem.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
I'm glad you knew that. Very cool. Very cool.
I recognize his voice.
Yeah, I wanted to say who it was, but I hadn't actually noticed in the video the parts I had watched that, you know, any of the any credit. And I don't know a lot of Scottish actors, so very cool. Glad you knew that. All right. And what do you got for us next, Weaver? Are you on mute?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm on mute. Oh, it's the first time I've done that for ages. What a winkle. Okay, sorry. Back to it again then. The next one is Take Heed Lest You Fall to the Drink by M.J. Donnelly. Now, Laurent, would you care to read this for us? Are you on mute?
Well, you set the example, and I follow.
Thank you. I don't feel so bad now.
No. All right. Take heed, lest you fall to the drink. Take heed, lest you fall to the drink and wallow in the gutter like a rat. Your soiled knickers hanging on the brink. Eventually, you'll fall with a splat. 'Tis the devil's brew only meant to sway. To strip and leave you as an empty shell. Forsake it this very day, else you'll be carried screaming straight to hell. You should be with your family instead, not slurping that swill, singing with the boys. You should be with your loved ones, breaking bread, for this is but one of God's given joys. I give it up, I say, for it's too late. Else into the murky quagmire you'll slip. Then misery and woe will be your fate. Penniless and sick, you'll beg for a sip. Can you once knew will undoubtedly shun your presence, as they now think you quite foul. You'll be left to dry like peat in the sun, and you'll get nothing, I'm sure, but a scowl. So go on, if you please, drink yourself daft. See if you garner a smidge of pity. For at such as you, I have always laughed, watching you sing your sloshed morrow's ditty. On a mountain of kegs, you'd sit and cheer, declaring to all It's mine, all mine. Swimming in hell with a grin ear to ear, using your dirty, rank boot as a stein. End poem.
Wonderful.
Great read there, Lawrence. Absolutely. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. And Kate, you're small.
Yes, a lovely way to start with a little bit of fun and a little bit of, you know, don't do what I do. Don't drink too much. I thought it was wonderful. I thought some of the stanzas were incredibly funny. You should be with your family instead, not slurping that swill, hanging with the boys. You should be with your loved ones, breaking bread, for this is but one of God's given joys. That's definitely McGonagall. Yes, very well done.
Yeah.
And good. Thank you.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. And great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this, well, you know, he it's a great writer on, you know, to focus on the writing style of that the poet how do I say that we have up tonight there? That
the
showcase
tonight. For the night?
Yes. Yeah, the show that showcase tonight. You know, he took the same style of writing, and the rhyming is there, everything's there. The old language is there. So you know, I thought that he did a really, really, really good job on this poem. And you know, there's really some really good. Good stanzas here in here. So go on, if you please, drink yourself daft. See if you garner a smidge of pity, for at such as you I have always laughed, watching you sing your sloth morose ditty. So yeah, there's quite a few stanzas here that, you know, that you really weighed. I really liked it. Yeah. Very, very well done, indeed. Bravo.
Me too. Me too. Excellent comment. And Lawrence, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, I thought, quite frankly, it was better poetry than the topics poet. I thought the little
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Your little ditty is full of humor and warmth, but twisted slightly sideways. I enjoyed it muchly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. Yes, I definitely have to say that. I gave this one the gold because I felt like the presentation, not only with I thought it was just a wonderful, presentation of the McGonagall style. And the fact that the rhyme and the humor and the fact that he chose to do this on the poem on the downfalls of drinking, which was actually a topic that McGonagall wrote about quite often, and in fact at one time actually got peas thrown at him because he was reading a poem on drinking, being opposed to drinking while at a pub. And I don't know why they had peas at a pub, but, you know, I assume they had their reasons. And but, yeah, no, this one definitely, to me, earned gold in its presentation, its rhyme, and its humor, you know. I especially like, kin you once knew will undoubtedly shun your presence as they now think you quite dull. You'll be left to drive like sheep in the sun. There's nothing, I'm sure, but a scowl. Wonderful lines and very well done. And Weaver, what do you got for us next?
We have The Lady of Dundee by Cedar Chapman. And Naomi, are you able to read this at your... You're coughing okay?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's under control for the moment.
good.
Okay. Lady of Dundee, beyond the Everglades, along a Dundee trail, a fair siren sang behind a tavern's veil. Drawn from starlight, her was her angel face, while patrons leered as she danced with grace. One silver a man of fading years, one shade a troll on wrinkled mirrors. Such that beasts young maidens would surely loathe, skin singed on bones, I don burlap clothes. A sick statue I stand to weep in shadows, watch her laugh and twirl, burly men to fallow. I sip my spirits while my voice be still, like a limp, mute raven on a birchwood sill. I stagger in stupor, walk a road divine, and choke on kisses that shan't ever be mine. A whiskey waltz down Lazarus' path, to bed with demons on my swordless wrath. Thus a bag full of shillings is my dreary plight, for your temptress touch, my lush ruse tonight. With flames like my lady, your red locks do flare, jad eyes wear semblance, your saints to lair. Oh, I've dared to dream, to caress your face, to lock our fingers on bond thread and lace. Does your hunger seep deep, my Pygmalion to be, so to sail with Poseidon on Scottish seas? As I trace your navel with pleading lips, you claw my name, malgurating hips. I gorge on your bosom, for you are mine, till last sands fall from borrowed time. How candles dim swiftly, wipe dry my eyes, need I beg you hold me till the mauve sunrise. Twilight may be fleeting, but I'll briefly be free of her smile, her chains, my Lady of Dundee. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and a wonderfully clever write by Cedar Chapman, inspired by William McGonagall's poem, The Bonnie Lass o' Dundee. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I'm so far appreciating the skill of the writers, the poets that we've heard initially this evening. I mean, when we used to do the humor program, a lot of the humor was extremely simplistic. This is very subtle, very amusing, while not trying to be, which makes it even more amusing, I think. And I think that's the inspiration of McGonagall. There's something in his poetry, as quote unquote bad as it is, and I don't think it's that bad, that inspires people, and they do a great job, just like this particular one. This is very well done. I love that penultimate stanza, that trace your navel with pleading lips. You claw my name, meld gyrating hips. Claw my name is very nicely done, as is the poem.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? I have to agree with you that there's a humor in the right so far, but it's a subtle humor. It's an intelligent humor. And I think that in part is the inspiration. And Weaver, your thoughts?
I agree that laughable as the man is, was, Mr. McGonagall, Mr. William Topaz McGonagall, give him his full title. I think it brought out so much. People wouldn't normally, I don't think, even go into that particular type of poetry, you know, unless there was a prompt. And I think they've done so well on this. Everyone, well, the ones we've heard so far are wonderful. I think it's excellent. And it has a taste of McGonagall, but it's like two or three levels up from McGonagall, if not more.
No, yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think this is done. This is beautiful. I enjoyed this a lot. And I liked the one that you liked as well, Laurent. As I trace your navel with pleading lips, you claw my name. That's a brilliant line, isn't it? Anyway, yes, I think it was wonderfully done. And thank you very much, Caesar. As usual, great job.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I really, really liked this one. You know, Cedar Chapman did a very fabulous job on this poem. I mean, there's even places where there's inner rhyme, you know, inside of the stanzas. And, you know, the way he turned some of the phrases around, you know, I need, I beg you, hold me till the sunrise. Twilight may be fleeting, but I'll briefly be free of her smile, her chains, my lady of Dundee. You know, I just love the flow, the whole flow, as well, you know, as the rhyming and the word choices is amazing. You know, it's like a, could be like an old, has an old classical English feeling to it. I don't know. It's just amazing, the writing. So I really appreciated this piece by far. Bravo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, me too. What I really enjoyed about this is that kind of subtle humor with like lines like, one silver a man of fading years, one shade a troll on wrinkled mirrors, such beasts young maidens would surely loathe. Skin singed on bones, I don burlap clothes. You kind of get the whole idea of a beauty and the beast. I also really like the lines of a whiskey waltz down Lazarus' path to bed with demons on my swordless wrath. A wonderful humor in this that has a subtlety to it. I do like the mention of Pygmalion and Poseidon of Scottish seas. I thought his nod towards a reference to the sea was great, because oftentimes, like, ships and sea and animals in the sea, like whales, were things that McGonagall wrote quite a bit about. So definitely a clever write and very well done. And Kate, what do you got for us next?
I have Beings Without Peeings by Peewee Cousin. He told me how to pronounce it once and I've forgotten already. So I think I'll read this because it's going to be funny. You'll enjoy this because I won't be able to say it properly. Okay, so listen out. This will be fun. And thusly on the third day of the best week, so did the meek come to speak. They said, the blood went thud in the mud, mixing with all the crap and crud. A firework we tried to fire, but alas it was a dud. So we strolled to the local bar for suds. And ever too true tale that day left them, blew in more than one way. For as the day approached, they found themselves with no hay. To feed the hunger and greed, they need to go pee. And without peeing, there is no being. So one by one, being free, they all just couldn't. 23, you see, that just wouldn't pee. So disposed they fleed to the sea, cause they just couldn't be without going pee. But hark, what did they see? Even the sea wouldn't let them pee. And they died right there, all 23, saying, we must pee in the sea to be, but we can't pee, so we mustn't be. Then the blood went thud in the mud. It was mixing with all the crap and crud. Firework we tried to fire, but alas, it was a dud. But we strolled to the local bar for suds in an ire. Time wouldn't bend, and in fact, this is the end. End poem.
Great read there. I enjoyed this one. It was funny. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy, you said to me, man. Oh boy, this is so crazy that it's so great. Oh boy, I just was, you know, I was just holding back from laughing all the way through.
what can I say? We must pee in the seat to pee, but we can't pee, so we must pee. Oh, my gracious. And in the blood, but time in the mud. Oh, thank you, Phoebe, for the laugh. Oh, my gracious, I haven't laughed in this much in, you know, quite a while. Oh, my gracious. Yeah, so great job. Amazing.
Absolutely. It definitely had the humor to it. So awesome comment. It was great to hear you laugh. And Lauren, your thoughts.
Well, this is, it's funny because this is one of those poems that is definitely not what one would call PC. Okay? But it, somehow that seems to fit quite nicely with the, his style, his name, his humor is broad, very enjoyable.
Absolutely. You're right. It is. It definitely fits well with tonight, for sure. For sure. And Weaver, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
It was certainly a challenge, it has to be said, and I really enjoyed it so much. It's not often I talk about peeing or people peeing or not peeing, or to pee or not to pee. So it was it was funny. It was very funny. Yes, thank you so much. I enjoyed it. Cleverly done, I thought. Very cleverly done. Kept hold of it all the way through, and not kept hold of the pee all the way through, obviously. But he managed to make it so funny. I loved it. Thank you so much, Phoebe.
Absolutely. Yeah, what I really liked about this is that it fit well with the McGonagall style because of the forced rhyme, the cliche rhyme, and the humor. Now, I don't necessarily know if McGonagall would have wrote about peeing in the sea, except for maybe to tell people not to do it. But what I liked about this is that Pee-wee took McGonagall's style, but put his personality into it. So, excellent write and very well done. And Kate, what do you got for us next?
Oh, I unmuted. Haha, sorry. I don't know if we've got anybody here who could actually deal with this next piece of poetry, but I'm certainly going to see if I can ask someone very close to us. Laurent, could you be so good as to read this one?
Yes, I will. Let me just find it. Oh, shit. You know, from time to time, I get a little lazy, and I'll take a quick glance at the topic for an evening and then write a poem. And I did the same thing tonight, but I missed the whole humor thing completely. When I read the first example poem, I said, boy, that's strange poetry. And I didn't give it much more thought than that. So this does not contain humor, and I apologize for that. It's called Judge and Jury. As angry angels cried for the children who had died, a deeper voice began to sing of souls gathered to their side. Eternal love, a righteous cure, painful memories not destroyed, blank slate describe anything, their new story is its own reward. Abuse and hunger vanished be, no longer slaves to industry, in hellish sulfur mines that ring, short lives lived out in captivity. A justice is mine, and were I not who I am, well then, cast me as a man who accepts his task, knowing evil's flesh is kindred, a common smile to be its mask, deceit and lies to the indentured. My emotions run amok, frayed, ripped, and rent, viewing dispassionate cruelty to those most innocent. My wrath has no bounds, no walls can contain its fury. I, and if I find them, my rope and I'll be both judge and jury. End poem.
Great read, Lawrence. And I have to say, you know, sometimes the same thing happens to me. Well, obviously, sometimes I put up the classic intro poem and don't bother to listen to the whole recording. So what I like is that, you know, I thought this was a great poem. You captured the rhyming pattern that William McGonagall tended to use. You also captured how oftentimes while his poetry was off the mark in its presentation, his heart was in the right spot. Like there were certain issues that were important to him. And I definitely have to praise this poem because as you say, you mentioned in your AM, this is about boys, young children who were expected to work in the mines from a very young age and had to deal with, unfortunately, a lot of abuse, physical, emotional, and unfortunately sexual. So it is a powerful rite. And, you know, I really like this all the way through, but when you get near that end, those last two stanzas, my emotions run amok, frayed, ripped, and rent. My wrath has no bounds, no walls can continue its fury. You know, and that is so true. There's just certain atrocities in this world that just get the temper burning and rights, and it's a righteous anger at that point. So excellent write and very well done and very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was drawn to the same two stanzas as you were, Pam, there, the last two ones. And yeah, you can experience fury in these situations, like you said, in and be justified for it because this is an awful, awful situation. I read your AN and I learned something from it. You know about this going on. This went on as early as age 6. You can imagine that, you know, being ripped away from your family to be exploited and worked to the bone probably and half starved and raped and everything. So, yeah, just an awful situation that you depicted here, Lorraine, and yeah, those last two stanzas are really, really powerful. So bravo.
Thank you.
And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, this is really a beautiful piece of writing. And you don't need to be bothered about the fact that it's not got any humor because the man wasn't expecting to be humorous. McGonagall was such a serious fellow, you know, so he wouldn't expect us to be laughing at his work anyway. So, you know, that what you've written is far better than anything he'd even think about. I agree with you. It's so, so sad that we're in a world that we're in and still we have haves and have-nots. We have people who can swim in money and people who can't find any. And I think that's diabolical, that we can send a message from Scotland to Australia in seconds, but people are still starving. It's obscene, totally obscene. It makes me want to go out and hit somebody. That's not very peaceful, but you know what I mean. I wouldn't actually go out and hit anybody. But I thought you did this beautifully. You brought it to the fore. The last stanza for me was a cracker. I love that. My wrath has no bounds, no walls can contain its fury. And if I find them, my rope and I... be both judge and jury. Lovely. Really well done. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. And Kate, what do you got for us next?
I have Silly Billy by Grant G. Silly Billy. Pam, would you like to read this, my dear?
I would be happy to. All right. Silly Billy by Grant G. A person's mind might grow old before time while thinking titter-tatter. Who cares what those people say? They'll always matter. They think the Tay a silver jagged rock which causes crashes. And I say an arse is an arse when it flashes. Smile for me, you poet fiends, or moan like lassies. For I don't care at all unless my whiskey bottle smashes. Come see the Tay on a rainy night. I'll give ye a loan by my glasses. Y'all, a big bridge from one bank to the other, metal and stone, sisters and brothers. So come along, whist and awe, sing a song with my daddy and mother and poem. And oh my goodness, wow, that was fun to read, but quite the challenge to, you know, try to get some of those sounds right. And Laurent, your thoughts?
And I say an arse is an arse when it flashes. Lines like that, they tickle me no end when it flashes. I love the language of this piece. The titter-tatter, the natter, the flashing arses, unless my whiskey bottle smashes. He really caught something with this particular piece. It's a cheeky little song, and I like it a great deal.
Oh, me too. I think cheeky was the perfect way to describe it. He definitely caught the persona of William McGonagall. So excellent comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, this was very well done. I liked it. A person's mind might grow old before its time whilst thinking titter-tatter. Who cares what those people say? They'll always natter. Ah. Wonderful. Yes, some great words in there. Some great Scottish words. Sorry, I'm just having a look at them. I think it's so cool. come see the Tay on a rainy night. I'll give you a loan. My glasses. Oh, aye. Okay. Awfully nice. Yes, I think it was very clever and very whistly done. And I liked it a lot. And you did a very good job on the read, which I probably couldn't have done as well. So, yes, beautifully done. Thank you, Grant.
Absolutely. Sorry, I was just sending a quick text, not text, but a post. All right. But yeah, no, it's funny because I was thinking as I was reading, this would have sounded so much better in Kate's accent than mine. But like I said, it was fun to read. Yeah, no, I really liked how he played with the Scottish words and dialect and, you know, that he captured the character, as he says, I used the character of William as my prompt. And I thought that was really cool that he did that. And I have to agree that there's just some classic lines in here, as Lauren pointed out. And I say an arse is an arse when it flashes. I also really like the one following that. Smile for me, you poet fiends, or moan like lassies. Just wonderful lines and very humorous and well done. And, so excellent write. And what do you got? Oh, and by the way, Naomi had to go because she's just not feeling well. So she'll be able to. Yep, so she'll get herself a good night's rest. This is what she needs, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yep.
And, all right.
Up next we have Evolution by Poetic Creations. I think I'll read this. I think it's about time I read something. Here we go. High heels up in Mount Past yonder sit ease squared, the lair of the thick tall tree, ember red flare hair. Tree of life beside myself I sit, but being unfair. Hiss of bees, kiss ears, crying out to brain tarot. Arrows of mercury meaty, or eyes most gauged seen, sailing storms drunk with passion, two tears. Hear me now, deep black sea golden moonbeam, piercing boats, hovered waves, absent any fear, fears. But wheeled round over years until ripped and torn, air left no wake, but sleep now and snore, dreaming many revolutions over again to start, round about Mobius strip, being fast like dart. Peeling rubber, dirty like dirt, dust falls from rug, threadbare core, no more flay, grey rugged. Rugged men, trudge, hearts, war, muddy boots lie. The butterfly screams and flies happy to die. Parchment speaks beautiful dress over red flashes. Dark shadows show frowns, a clown emerges. Scourge of Athens, spear and wood shield clashes. Rain falls, wives and widows alike, murder urges. End poem.
Great read there, Weaver. I had to look up the word evil, which apparently is the word love spelled backwards, and I should have realized that. And it's a way of calling somebody love evil in like a pun-like manner. I thought this was just clever in its imagery. I liked the title. To me, I really liked that there was, you know, like all these twists and turns, and it focuses on a lot of different sights and sounds. It was funny because PC had said that this was kind of strange. I tried to just write about nothing. Then I went back to read it. It tells the story of a man cheating. And I thought that's interesting how sometimes, and that happens, I think, with like flow of consciousness type rites. I really liked some of the imagery I particularly liked in this is roundabout Mobius strip, ping fast like dart, peeling rubber, dirty like dirt, dust falls from rug. Yeah, the butterfly screams and flags, happy to die. Parchment speaks beautiful dress over red flashes. There's just this imagery that just keeps bombarding your senses. So great write and very well done. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
I like what you were saying about the imagery. As I was listening to this and reading it, I was thinking of the title at the same time with the word evolutions, and the images came so fast, tumbling across the page, really, that I said, all right, he's speaking of evolutions, and you have to keep track of the imagery to make sense of it. But when you do, even though he wrote about nothing and gave his muse its head and let the reins fall, so to speak, he did manage to go off with something that works. I thought that was very impressive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Well said there. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Well, I could have bet my bottom dollar this was a stream of consciousness type right. I took a little time to get into the flow of it. The first two stanzas, I'm afraid, were not as they should have been. But when I started to get a rhythm, it started to sound a lot better. So I apologize, Poetic Creations, for mucking up the first two. But yes, you can see that line, peeling rubber, dirty like dirt, dust falls from rug. And I read faster than I normally would, because this is how it took me. It made me go faster, speak faster. Because I couldn't stop the movement. It was just moving so fast. So, yes, I thought it was very interesting, very clever, beautiful use of so many wonderful images. So, yes, very well done, Poetic Creations. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. And what do you got for us next, Kate?
I'm a little bit slow because I was talking there far too much. Just give me one second.
No problem. Not far too much at all.
I do tend to forget what I'm doing when I talk. Right, here we have McGonagall's Lament by Anton Astford, 37. Laurent, would you care to read this one?
Certainly. McGonagall's Lament by Anton Astford, 37. I have often wondered why people laugh at me. I dress the same as normal gentlefolk do, and always tie my cravat properly, my waistcoat always the correct shade of blue. Perhaps it is jam I use when people come to tea. Never do I sneeze in the stew or bark dictatorially. Maybe no, it cannot be. Perhaps my poetry? End poem.
Great read, Lauren. This one gave me a chuckle. I always enjoy Anton's writing, and oftentimes in his writing he has a nice bit of humor, but I think with this one particularly he's caught the character. This is a wonderful brevity that caught the personality, though almost the opposite of, actually now that I think about it as I'm talking out loud, it's almost the opposite personality of how McGonagall was said to be. Like, whereas he didn't care, here we have a person, and I think many of us can relate to this, the wondering why people laugh, or not necessarily laugh, but like we wonder, if somebody doesn't like us, sometimes why we wonder, sometimes we don't care, but, you know, I really like there's this kind of fun ridiculousness to this. Like, my waistcoat always the correct shade of blue. Perhaps it is jam I use when people come to tea. Never do I sneeze in the stew. And I like poetry that's so ridiculous. It's just fun and makes you crack a smile. So excellent write and very well done. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Hello. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hello.
Go ahead.
All right. This is McGonagall realizing, suspecting that his poetry is keeping people away, but he offers other alternatives, and takes pains to establish how proper he is with a properly tied tie, the correct shade of blue in his waistcoat. He uses a good jam, I'm sure. I did laugh at the, do I sneeze in the stew? It's nice alliteration. But at the end, you know, he admits, maybe it's my poetry. So yeah, nice piece.
Absolutely. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Yes, I enjoyed this one a lot. I did. It is how some people think. I mean, you know, people, I've often wondered how people can be the way they are and not be aware of the way they are by the very reaction of people around them would give them a hint that something wasn't quite right. So I don't know. Maybe some people have a great deal of self-confidence and things don't bother them too much, perhaps, but this chap obviously worries a lot about being correct. I mean, what is the correct shade of blue? There's so many. I want to know which is the correct one so I can
wear
in the future. Yeah.
Bankers.
Isn't it? Navy blue is pretty damn nice. I like navy blue. But other than that, every blue is a wonderful color. So, yes, I thought this was very funny, very enjoyable. Anton, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was enjoyable.
Absolutely. I would have to say, for me, it's like either a turquoise or a sky blue would be the right shade.
But, oh yes,
you know, I think it's pretty much each to them. Yes, exactly. Well, before we go on to the next poem, I'd like to welcome Jean to the show. Welcome, Jean. Glad you could join us.
Hello, Pam. Hey, Lauren. And hello, my girlfriend, Kate. How are you?
Oh, Jean, how lovely to hear you. Hi.
Hello, Jean.
Hello? Yes. Sorry about that, Pam. I didn't expect you to pick me up if you weren't going to say something to me, so I apologize for interrupting.
Oh, my, you know, I don't know. Yeah, no, I didn't even think of why I did. It's just such a habit when somebody calls in and it's a number I recognize to just bring them on. So I apologize for that.
I apologize.
Old habits die hard.
Yes. That's it. Never mind. I'm going to be good. Oh, so yes. I heard you were.
All right.
I opted to call. So what's happening? You having fun?
Well, we are having some fun. Did you get a chance, by the way, to read or to hear Anton Answers' poem?
I did not. I saw that Naomi left. I messaged you. I played around with the phone, you know, so I didn't hear it. So I apologize.
No problem. We'll catch you on the next round. All right. What do you got for us next, Kate?
I have Dark Moonlight, 4360 by Betty Page. No. Jean. Aha. Would you like to
sure.
put to work already? Good old. Could you read
sure.
this one? Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You got it. This is Dark Moonlight by Betty Page. Jet black is my soul. I've lost all of my control. Neath this dark moonlight, violently blue, such a beautiful clear hue, not much I can do. Tear-stained crimson eyes, pain shaping from out my eyes, no real big surprise. Jet black is my soul. I've lost all of my control. Neath this dark moonlight, violently blue, such a beautiful clear hue, not much I can do. Tear-stained crimson eyes, pain shaping from out my eyes, no real big surprise. Jet black is my soul. I've lost all of my control. Neath this dark moonlight, violently blue, such a beautiful clear hue, not much I can do. Tear-stained crimson eyes, pain shaping from out my eyes, no real big surprise, except now I'm wise. End poem.
Great read, Jean, and a wonderful write by Betty Page. And speaking of the right shade of blue, I'm pretty sure violently blue is not the right shade. And Weaver, your thoughts? Oh, Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute again. Oh, my goodness me. What is my left thumb supposed to do? My left thumb is supposed to take me off mute, and it's not listening. Okay,
yeah.
This is, I love this. Violently blue or not, I still love it. I love the repetition. It's just so, I like it when it brings it all together, and you start to notice the differences in each stanza when you have things repeating like that. It makes you notice more, I think. But I thought it was wonderful. Jet black is my soul. I've lost all of my control neath this dark moonlight. I want to be there. I want to lose control. You're so good. But not the tear-stained crimson eyes. No, thank you. Not that. Yes, I thought she did beautifully. It was a lovely write. And I love that title, Dark Moonlight. Wonderful. So, Betty, thank you very much for sharing. I enjoyed it greatly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I had to go back and look carefully. It took me by surprise that she took the first three stanzas and basically repeated it twice. But it works. I'm not sure why or how, but it does work. Maybe it's the words she used. I'm not sure. But that last line said, now I'm wise. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, this has been going on for a while, but now she's finally gotten smart. And that works for me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think another reason it works is because of the particular topic that we're doing today and the style of poetry. You know, because, and this is me just guessing, but it's almost like because William McGonagall was known for his long-winded poems and being kind of redundant in his poetry, it's almost like in her own style and in her own way, Betty has captured that. And to me, I think that's another reason that it works so well. So excellent comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I have to say, you know, I thought the repetition lent a lot to this piece. It was kind of like the sorrow or the sad times that she was experiencing. It was almost like you were experiencing it with her. And it's not like it was once or twice. It was over and over and over again. She was running into the same problems. But then, at the very end, she brought it home with, you know, her last line, "Except now I'm wise." You know, you can only mourn something so much before you just can't do it anymore. And you have to make it into a learning experience or move forward from there. So I think that was kind of neat the way she did it. Whether that was the intent, I don't know. But that was definitely my interpretation. Nice job, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. And I had the same interpretation. I really liked the imagery in this. I liked her use of color. And I thought the same thing, that it really was an excellent write on finally learning from the pain of our mistakes. So very cool comment. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Welcome, Frank. Glad you could join us.
Hello. Hello there. Can you hear
me?
Hey,
Frank. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And did you get a chance to read or hear Betty's poem?
Yes, I was able to hear. I believe it was not. Well, the poem that was, I was able to hear the last few two lines. Was that, I believe that was Weaver who read the poem, right?
No, me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That tells you how bad I am tonight. Long day, I'm sorry. I thought the poem, I heard what you said there, I think it was Pam, you were saying about repetition form here. And I really appreciate that because I really got that feeling there in this poem here. This poem was very dark. But it was also very much painful. But I agree, there is a sense of a moral to this poem. And I like the way that she stretched out the tear strained crimson eyes. And then she repeated the same line there with the pain and then the no real big surprise. She did a fantastic job with this poem, and the way she encompassed the darkness in this poem here was excellent. It was a fantastic reading, a fantastic poem.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, what do you have for us next?
I have Mr. Topaz by Diane D, and it has a SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll mosey on over there and do. Here we go.
Mr. Topaz by Diane D. Mr. W, with a middle name like Topaz, my dear, I see sensibility in the musings I hear. Standing as a songster for women and farmers and showing no fear. So W, fret will you not over the silvery tay no more? Go off in search of a more promising shore. They call you the tragedian of Dundee. Then everyone viciously threw rotten fish on thee. But to throw you away like dirty undies, damn it, Mr. M, it's just not right for them. There's nowhere to hide and no way to win. But don't worry, Mr. McGee. You got a like from me. And so what if you auto-rank just under a 3? There's nothing wrong with your message, you see. You have more weak words than strong by habit, but you spew what you want, dagnabbit. So don't go around feeling shame just because the whole world laughs at your name, because I am a brand new fan that you gained. Hoo-hoo if you didn't get too famous. You certainly ain't no ignoramus. They made fun of your well-penned autobiography as if you had written pornography or that the president didn't know his geography. Alas, Mr. M, to heck with them and their opinions. They are just a bunch of overgrown minions. Aye, aye to the words that you've written. With your style and your while, I am smitten. By the poetry bug I've been bitten. Because the thing that impressed me a lot is that you never gave a shit what they thought. End poem.
Great read, Diane. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Frank, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, first of all, that was one hell of a performance there. I've got to applaud her there. I thought the rhyming was impeccable. The way she narrated this poem as well was impeccable. There's so much to, you know, the little I know about the prompt that is being used tonight, or the poet or the artist, I'm sorry, from what I understood, there was so much humor attached in, and this poem really just brought that the wit, the creativity, and really exemplified a bit of what his character, I would think, was during that time period he lived. And I like the mentions there, the references to Mr. M, Mr. Mark. There is such a cleverness in this poem here. It was just witty. It was, I would say, it was also extraordinarily well written there. In the meter, I would say, there is a sense of, within the rhyming scheme, I thought she did a fantastic job there as well. And the SoundCloud was, above all, was the most entertaining, above all.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I have to agree that that one was definitely in paying tribute to his style and to him. And I like that she took a different approach with hers. I like that hers was a tribute to William McGonagall. And rather than looking at his character flaws, she took a look at his strengths. Now, here's something. Before I continue commenting on the poem, here's something you might find funny and interesting, Frank, as an actor. Besides being a poet, William McGonagall was also a weaver and an actor, but at one point he was, here's the funny thing, is that he was starring in a production of Macbeth. He was starring in a production of Macbeth. Mm-hmm. He was playing Macbeth. And it was the last part where, you know, he gets killed, he gets stabbed.
Yeah.
But he decided that the person playing the character opposite of him was jealous of him. And therefore, when he got stabbed, he refused to die and was then voted in history as the worst performance of Macbeth ever.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that one there, but that's an accolade there he required then. I mean, I have to applaud him for that. I mean, improvisation is something that's somewhat frowned I'm assuming back in those days. Nowadays, it can be somewhat accepted, but in those days, you know, depending on who you were performing for the audience there, it was somewhat frowned upon.
Oh, yeah, well, between his acting and his poetry, he actually, there were people who would pay to have him read his poetry just for the amusement. Having the crowd. Exactly.
Wilde was also much like this. Wilde used a lot of his humor there. It was a bit posh at times, but he was another person, another famous poet and a playwright who used wit, humor to to win over his audience, and he did that before the scandals came, of course. But he was very effective in that as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. It had, you know, the great rhyme to it. It was a wonderful tribute, especially with that end line on how he just didn't give a about what anybody thought. And he did also, she's right, where he mentions, that standing as a songster for women and farmers showing no fear. He did actually write a lot about women's rights and the rights of the farmers. I also like how she brought this into modern times with the mention of auto rank. I thought that was funny. So excellent write and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. It was very well done. So clever. Yeah, I liked it a lot. So don't go around feeling shame just because the whole world laughs at your name. Because I am a brand new fan that you've gained. Poo-hoo, dude. If you didn't get too famous, you certainly ain't no ignoramus. That was lovely. That's a lovely tribute to a very daft man who obviously was completely self-delusional. You know, he really thought he was the bee's knees, and it's a shame that nobody actually managed to make him understand. They could have done so much more if he'd been able to understand, but they weren't criticizing. They were trying to help him, and he wouldn't listen. But yes, I thought she did a beautiful... Diane, that was wonderful. Thank you, my dear, for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Jean, your thoughts?
Let me see now. I had something written here. I was chuckling. I thought it was a great piece. It was a wonderful write by Diane and a great job with this poem. I love the conversation that she had with William McGonagall. When I got down to this stanza down here, and I liked them all, trust me. But don't worry, Mr. McGee, you got a like for me. And so what if you ought to rank just under a 3? There's nothing wrong with your message, you see. You have more weak words than strong by habit. But you do what you want, dag nabbit. And I thought that was great. I thought the whole poem was great, but that stanza above really had me going. So I was like, yeah, you go, Diane. You know, I mean, that's the truth of the matter, I think, right there. So, yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. All right, Kate, what do you got for us next?
Next I have Don't Gear Mine Hearty, Connie, by Poetic Picasso. So, Lolette, would you read that for us, please?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for my phone to permit me over there. This is somewhat embarrassing here.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. You are all right. I make a fool of myself without any need for phones going on.
All right, here we go. Now, I've got to ask something here. I'm a little bit apprehensive here because I know you're Scottish here, and I don't know if I could try and do it in the Scottish brogue there. I just don't want to offend you.
Oh, please. Please do. I would love it. On you go, my pal.
I haven't practiced a Scottish brogue there, but I'll give it a stab there.
Please.
This is a poem. It's actually called Don't Gear My Hearty Connie. It actually means, in the idiom of the Scottish idiom, don't go my hearty Connie. So it goes like this. Across the brae, I close the boon, the heather's blossoming soon, If the stars rolled in a moon, till the nickel clusters are a boon. Bitter of bracken ruffling even, nay, Fletcher pin clutch of seven. Miss a frying being freckless stevern, with poppies awake from the slaving. Trolls jigger in their cold, being foxes be straggled yearly by a glean. Winched shale clack like bout a fiend, sprawled stir long with rancor keen. Teeming waters of a sprack fair by yonder sheen of a windly garth, with the glinting sigh of a mirth, was broken in a lonesome earth. Faint idled of the wankle gale, buffling nigh breath the snow tail, winding strength within the swale, aloft to countly and soothly hail. Aye, laugh to the gainest more, winding in forth jaw and store, will slight me not with thy glory, for I too gold as a wrought bore. Don't hear me high to me hawk to canny, bolting eyes fine and bony, Christ I natter blind and mardy, with her I bear a jib off to hardy. Sputtering words again I mutter, in the dawnless eventide I flutter, biding before the balls clutter, by the winds of yester. Like water in the poem. God, that was terrible.
No, that was
bravo, friends. That was amazing. And Weaver, of course, we're going to start with you for comments.
Oh, my laddie, that was fair, Bonnie. Oh, fairly good. Aye, you're a bonnie, wee laddie. Aye. No, I think that was really well done. I couldn't have done that, my goodness me. How would you, where did you find these words? I love the fact that you have a glossary. How clever are you? That must have taken you ages to write as well. That's
No. Believe it or not, it did not take me too long. But, you know, this poem is 8 years old, and when I used to write serious poetry, I had a knack for writing these type of rhymes, and it just came to my head. Nowadays, I'm not able to do that.
Oh, well, it was very well done, in fact, for 8 years ago. That's marvelous. No, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I really did. You did such a good job. Wait till you hear mine. I've got a SoundCloud, and it sounds nothing as yours. Oh, dear.
No,
I'm trying to be Scottish, and I can't do it. I've heard it, and I thought, what have I done? So, yes, thank you so much. That was most enjoyable.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, and I have to agree. I think this was very enjoyable. It fit well with the fact that we are featuring a Scottish poet. I really enjoyed the use of the Scottish language and dialect. The end rhyme was wonderful, as well as the imagery. And it's just fun to listen to someone read this and to, you know, like he laughs to the gainest more, wending then forth jolly in store. And I do appreciate that you offer up the glossary so that anybody reading along can kind of look down and be offered up, you know, those definitions. But definitely a wonderful classic feel and very well done.
Oh, and I appreciate that.
Gene.
And I've always been a Robbie Burns fan. I know once tonight we're talking about another Scottish poet. But I've always been a Robbie Burns fan, and I admire Scottish poetry throughout history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Robert Burns, definitely good stuff. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, Frank, I think you did a wonderful job with the whole poem. You know, I love the fact that you used the Scottish words, and, you know, you pulled it together beautifully in the poem itself. But you read, I think you did a fine job with that. I really did. It sounded good to my ear. I worked with a couple of Scottish fellows. So, see, I know. Can you say the word 32?
32.
32. 32, man. 32.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? How you doing?
There you go. I spent some time in Yorkshire, so I did hang out a bit in Scotland, not as much as I could have, but I did go over the border from Yorkshire to Scotland, and I was able to hear a lot of the Scottish twang over there, but I don't admit I am an expert on that. As an actor, I am taught to learn different accents, of course, but it's always a pleasure to do something like this. I mean, it's just and doing this type of poetry, above all, you know, which to me I consider classic, like Robbie Burns, it was just an honor for me to be able to try to attempt a poem like this.
Well, you did a fine job with that. And I got to tell you, those fellas, they taught me a lot. They'd get on that intercom, paging one another, and I'd be just listening.
Oh,
I thought what I was doing just so I could listen. Sounded good.
Oh, there you go. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Now, you know, everyone's going to be listening afterwards. Like, wow, well, he's doing a Scottish probe there.
Yeah, right?
I'm not Scottish. I'm not English. I'm just a Spanish boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, too funny. And what do you got for us next, Kate?
I have Subway Car by S. Sharp. Pam, would you like to read this, please?
I would be happy to. Oh, look at that. I get the shorty. All right.
Don't say I'm not good to you.
Well, you can read it slowly.
I promise I won't. All right, this is R160 Subway Car by S. Sharp. Oh, beautiful beauty, R160 Subway Car. New technology in the tunnels, underground. New York City's B-Vision car, replacing all others since 2010. The R38, the R40A, the R44, R32, and R42, gone, no more, no, no. Are you ready, R160? You betcha. And boom. And Kate, your thoughts.
I've never seen the R's row so better than you there, Pam, tonight. Said it better than I could have said those R's.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good. I mean, really, I've learned more about subways than I've ever known in my entire life in this last 3 minutes. Wow, New York City B Division car replacing all others since 2010. I mean, aren't you having that kind of information and thinking, I'll put this down in poetry? Wonderful, I'm going to try it. I'm going to start putting down the name of all the buses that go past my house. Do we have a contest for that? We need to do that. Buses what pass you. Buses that pass in the night. Something like that. Yes, I thought it was very funny. And he actually did it very well. A beautiful beauty. I mean, that's typical McGonagall. He would have done that, wouldn't he? I thought that was lovely. And the ending, are you ready, R160? You betcha. I thought it was very good.
Absolutely.
In honor of the Wash Poets, yeah.
Well, I really like this because he did really capture McGonagall's, like, cheesy style, because he tended to be overly dramatic in his writing. He'd write about, like, simple everyday things like the town that he lived in and be overly dramatic. And he really caught that in how that first line with, oh, beautiful beauty. And, of course, you know, you betcha, just makes me think of the movie, what's that one that takes place in South Dakota or North Dakota, where they, the, you know, we're up north where they always say, you betcha. Yeah.
I say this now. I say that an hour from Philly, so I don't have,
I have no idea.
I wish I could remember what that movie is. But it's the name of, anyways, I'll remember it in the middle of the night. But, yeah, I got a big kick out of that. So, very cool, very cool. And, Frank, your thoughts?
Well, this is, I mean, I'm getting to know all the artists here, I mean, the poet here through his, these poems tonight. It's a very crafty, very witty poem. I like the R's, the repetition of the R's. As I said before, you wrote them very well. And I like the R, Are You Ready? The R160. I like this poem. It's a very brief poem. And someone who doesn't know, you know, who doesn't know this particular, I would say, the poet,
would probably not understand the full capacity of what he's trying to write. But once he knows the style and the humor of the poet, which I'm learning more, and then it makes it more logical, you know, what this poem really, you know, the style of a poem here, which is the humor aspect here. And I really did appreciate that, you know. It was a great read, and it was a fine poem as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, very cool. And Dean, your thoughts?
Well, I have to say, I thought that Scott did a fine job with the poem. I thought it was clever. It was a clever piece. But I have to say, Pam, I was disappointed in your read. We had just discussed 32 moments before you started to read it. And you skipped over, you said R38 and R32. It's R38 and R32.
Oh, there you go. Now,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
No, we're all going Scottish tonight.
That was too funny. I'll have to remember that for next time.
Oh, God.
You better keep them turkeys right.
Gene,
and
my
I'm
darling.
Over
the, Gene.
The
odds. Gene, that sounded more Irish than Scottish.
Oh,
oh my God. Too funny.
Well, she's from Glasgow, no weaver.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. We can live with that. I'm going to give her some lessons later on.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Oh, my
gosh. And Pee-wee was nice enough to mention that the movie I was trying to remember was Fargo. So thank you for that. Yep. Yep. Names escape me. All right. And Kate, what do you got for us next?
Next I have the Melodious, I can't even say it, Melodious Heifer. Heifer, Heifer, by Boodoo, no guest. Oh, no guest. I've done it again. Are you supposed to read that bit, you fool? Yes, okay, and Jean, my dear, would you care to read this one? Sure.
Give it to Berg, I guess.
I was going to say, are there any turkeys in there?
No. No.
Let me fix my screen so I can find them. Okay, let me see. This is called the... Pam, you should be reading this one. The Malodorous Heifer by Budo. The story goes, as truth be told, a dispirited bovine who was so bold, she shared the rambles to and fro unto the ground as she bellowed. Belched and brayed did her mate at half-wit ass of which to his fate. Saw the cow in shallow state, then cursed in tongues as to break. Stink and as stunk and mired in skunk. Could you not move further to produce thy funk? Thus she continued. Heaven help us, up come Hanai, your malodorous drama shed tears from my eye. And to this ass the bovine did quote, it's to this and hence you do misspoke. Your foul cursed lips not worthy, pray you do catch with the scurvy. And so this ended their partnership, two lifelong friends attached at the hip. They upped and parted to each their way and have not spoken to this very day. End poem. Oh, my God.
Great read there, Jean.
I don't know. I was tripping over my words.
I saw that. Yep. I thought you did great. Well, before we continue on with commenting, I would like to welcome Peacock's Secret Poetry to the group. Welcome. Glad you could, not to the group, sorry. Boy, can you tell I've been welcoming people to the group today? To the show.
I'm confused.
Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Hello.
No problem. I'm glad to be here. I'm very glad to be here.
Very cool. Very cool. And Frank, your thoughts on Budo's poem?
Well, I'm wondering and pondering there about that funk there. I wonder how terrible that funk must be there. If it's so older, is. this was just a very creative piece. I mean, I've got to give him cards here. He wrote such a fantastic poem here. You know, the rhyme scheme of the thing is marvelous here, and it's just a narrative. The dialogue as well. I was going to join you in the dialogue there, Phil, but I said no. I'll let her finish there. This was just a wonderful, wonderful piece here, and humorous at best.
Oh, absolutely! I did enjoy the humor of this, I have to say. So excellent comment. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Yes, this is it's another one of those ones I love that just they read so well because they flow so well, and you enjoy it. You want to read it all the way through. But some beautiful alliteration. I do like alliteration. We have belched and brayed, did her mate, a half-wit ass of which to his fate saw the cow in shallow state, then cursed in tongues as to berate. Lovely. Yes, I found this amusing. I found it clever. An awful lot of bovine going on. Yes, I love that. But you get to that last stanza. This is what I love, a last stanza. Because even if I've been unsure, this brings it all together for me at the end. For some reason, I don't know, it seemed to be a natural flow, a natural thing. And so this ended their partnership. Two lifelong friends attached at hip. They upped and parted to each their way. And have not spoken to this very day. Ah, sad ending, but beautiful piece of poetry.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Peacock, did you get a chance to read the Malodorous Heifer, by Boodle?
Yes. And what makes it extra funny is that my little brother, when he was about 4 or 5, he got mad at my sister, and he just blurted out, "You heifer!" We were like, "What? Where did you learn?" We had to try to figure out what he was trying to say. And so ever since then, in my family, heifer is like a compliment and reference to that joke. We're like, "All right, heifer, you're going to need to come with me to the store. Come on, heifer." So now, because we can't keep saying hypo, because then people think we're ignorant. We just be like, "Come on, hypo!" And like, "What are you saying?" You be like, "No, it's my brother. Yeah. He doesn't know how to say hypo, but he knows how to yell at somebody at 5 years old."
Yeah. It sounds like high five, hypo.
Yeah.
Yes, or like you say, it's because of language or something. So, but yes, and then the other thing that popped up for me is that, you know, they're talking about greenhouse gases and how they're now going to tax on cow farts.
I heard that.
It's in the news. They're going to tax the cow farts. And I was like, wow, so here's this cow farting and destroying its relationship with a donkey who is obviously not good company either. It's just like, oh dear God, they're going to be taxed and they're going to be getting rid of all the other animals.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is, it is fun. Absolutely. Great comment.
And I like it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Oh. Yep. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's it. That's it. That's fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. The rhyme, the humor. I did like those lines, "Stink of stunk and mired in skunk. Could you not move further to produce thy funk?" Thus he continued. I love the melodramatic feel to this that adds to the humor. So excellent write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Kate?
Well, I have Ode to a Road by Pam Ray. Would you be caring to read this one at all?
Oh, I think I can handle that. All right. Ode to a Road by me. loved and admired is Oak Hill Road, except for the squashed snakes and toads and squirrels smashed by four-wheelers going by. Just such an awful way to die. Snowmobile trails lead to you, so in wintertime we may get through. Your trees are many, so is your dirt. None walk on you in a white skirt. All summer long and into fall, they worked on you so you'd be less dull. Praise the road workers who worked away and only took off 30 days. To make you modern, oh so new, with a broadening of views, connecting to the brand new highway with twists and turns and overpass. These new adjustments give me nervous gas. But when I need to run my errands, I need not fear that errors don't end. For soon on the highway, straight ahead, I'm traveling to town for eggs and bread. Lightly toasted, sunny side up, strong black coffee in my cup. Oak Hill Road, how we love her, especially the deer that run across and fill our freezers. End poem. And Kate, would you be so kind as to leave comments for me, please?
Of course, my dear, no problem. Well, I'll go first to Jean. Sorry, Jean, would you care to comment?
Of course. It's a Pam Wright piece. What more do I need to say? I think Tom did a great job with it, Pam, really. You know, loved it and admired his Oak Hill Road, except for the squash snakes and toads. And squirrels smashed by four-wheelers going by. Definitely is the upside of the road. No, I'm only kidding. But definitely, you made it your own again, you know. You took a direction that nobody would be expecting. You know, you start out thinking it's going to be this wonderful, lovely, lovey-dovey poem, and there it goes. You know? But because you have all that detail in there. You always have so much detail and great imagery. Even if it's not pretty, it's still great imagery, you know, and you don't miss a beat with any of that. And you definitely have expressed it all the way through in this, and I think it's just a fabulous job. You know, I'm not real familiar with Mr. McGonagall, but, you know, I believe that. Oh, wait a minute, what's this? Lightly toasted, sunny side up, strong black coffee in my cup. There you go. Now I know it's a Pam poem for real. But definitely a great piece and a nice tribute. Well, a nice tribute to his style, from what I've seen and heard so far. So, great job. Thanks, Pam.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Jean. And Laurent, would you care to make a comment, please?
Laurent dropped, honey.
Oh, did he? Balderdash. Okay. Naomi? Oh, Naomi's gone.
We've got Frank and we've got Peacock.
Oh, thank you. Peacock, I'm so sorry. Hello. I forgot to say hello. I'll get a bit frazzled.
Hi, no problem.
Hi. Right, so Frank, would you comment, please?
Well, we've gone from funk on the last poem there, Pam, to garth there, so I don't know which is worse there, which I prefer. I do have to inquire, and inquiring minds do want to know, where is Oak Hill Road?
It's actually the road I live on, small town in Wisconsin that I live in, yes. And this isn't a part, I mean, it's over-dramatized, but it's also partially true because we had a lot of road work done over the summer and into the fall. We now have a roundabout. Our road got broadened and, you know, like it's just all so confusing for us small town people to try to learn roundabouts and overpasses and all that stuff.
Especially the squirrels, which I can understand that. The poem is just I agree with what Phil said. It's just a witty poem. This is your trademark poetry, I thought it was just fantastic. And this is, you know, this is supposedly from this supposed road that you talk about, which is a real road. This imagery here is very much relatable. You know, people who live in small towns here in the U.S. Do, you know, this is the imagery that you see daily. So I can understand that. And I do like the way you ended up there. You brought up the whores, and you went on to talk about, which I do prefer, the eggs and bread there. I'm wondering if tomorrow, will I get an invite there for eggs and bread tomorrow?
There you go. Breakfast on me tomorrow.
There you go. It was great, Paul. Great, Paul.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Some bacon.
So he's going to have breakfast on you, eh?
There we go.
trust me to make it rude. I'm so sorry. I've got a mind like a sewer. Peacock, would you like to comment?
Oh, man. Even I missed the mind like a sewer until you pointed it out. I really enjoyed it. It's so witty and silly and sarcastic. You know, sort of sarcastic, but at the same time serious. It's like, when it talks about the poor toads and snakes, I was like, well, I didn't. It made me think of a couple of times I've stepped on snails. I was like, well, wait a minute, technically. And the best part, of course, is the ending. I love a good ending. I feel like every poem gets judged by its ending because that's the last thing you'll remember, you know? And when it talks about the deer that have been stocking the freezer, so now I'm like, oh, God, roadkill. It's just...
Oh, you've ruined my breakfast for tomorrow there.
Deer that run across and fill our freezers. Especially the deer that run across and fill our freezers. I'm like, so you guys are
just ruined my breakfast there.
Yep, that's your breakfast.
Oh, you just ruined it for me tomorrow.
Venison. It's fresh venison, okay? Fresh kill.
Oh, no.
Well, thank you, everyone. I appreciate your fun comments. And Weaver, what do you got for us next?
Well, you're going to hear my rendition of the Edinburgh accent of 1920, possibly. It's got a SoundCloud. So you want to actually hear it?
Yeah. Yes, here we go.
Edinburgh, bonnie Edinburgh, grand city of my birth. The sights and sounds of Edinburgh tomb will hear you trotting with mirth. The Scots monument defies belief, steep, narrow, way too high. But I'll encourage all buddy to pay your tuppenny bit and climb up to the sky. No money cities here, castle in their midst. In the centre of the environs on a hill, we are garden where there used to be a moat, tanking deep, muddy and brown, a watery barricade, so that nobody could ascend the crags to kill.
Oh, bravo, Weaver. You know, personally, I don't know a lot of differences between Scottish accents, but I did enjoy listening to you read that. That was very cool. And Frank, your thoughts?
Yeah, there is a distinction between the Edinburgh accent and the Glasgowian accent and the other, the Isles as well from Northern Scotland. There is, of course, I'm not being from there, but I can somewhat from just my trips there. It was a wonderful, wonderful poem. You know, I like the fact that you brought in the elements there of the Scottish brogue there, of you know, the words there, which I found very refreshing, the bonnie, which is typical Scottish there. I like the ending. I like the way you brought it in as well. It almost has this, you know, it could have been a song as well, something that could have been chanted as well, not chanted, but song as well. So I got this feeling there, Weaver, that perhaps you're going to sing us there afterwards there. But I thought the poem was just a fantastic poem. It was a great rendition, and you really brought in a lot of
imagery there, which I truly admire about Scotland, the crags there in particular, and I like the, you know, the prune, the moat. You've got so many wonderful imagery there in the end, which I really admire there, of Scotland there. So you did a fantastic job with this poem, and I have to say really quick, I am an admirer of Scotland, so it's a privilege to hear someone from there read poetry from Scotland.
Thank you, that's very kind. I found it quite difficult, but I'm glad I did it. I wasn't going to, but I'm glad I did it.
It was a great job.
I am glad you did too, and great comment, Frank. I really liked this all the way through. It was a wonderful tribute to Edinburgh. It was clever. It was fun. I particularly really like that second stanza, the Scots monument defies belief, steep, narrow way too high. But I'll encourage Al Betty to pay your two-penny bit and climb up to the sky. It just absolutely was a delight to listen to and to read, and very well done. I enjoyed this. And
thank you.
And Peacock, your thoughts?
Oh, I really like, I've always said I liked Scottish accents, but my problem is I don't understand them. I just like the way it sounds. But I'm glad I'm able to read this, because then I'm able to catch more of the words that you said. Even though they sounded very beautiful, I missed, you know, 90% of the reading, of the meaning. So in reading it, it's just beautiful. Like, I like the part, grand city of my birth, and then we'll have ye chortling with mirth. That's just so sweet, you know what I mean? And it's so positive and uplifting. And so I really did enjoy it. And I like that there used to be a moat there. Like, how did there used to be a moat somewhere? Like, this just pulls me in. The idea that somebody
went really
somewhere and say there used to be a moat.
I think they put the railway on it. They drained it and put the railway on it. We now have a railway beneath Edinburgh Castle, a railway station, railway tracks, and it kind of distracts from the look of the place, I think.
Oh, that's an interesting tidbit to learn. Very cool. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was a great piece, Kate. I really did. I like the you know, of course, I like the Baroque type writing. I don't know what the name, what do you call that, the type of writing, the type of words. Is there that sounds so silly. Never mind. I'll talk to you about that later when we're not on the air, so everybody can look at me. But,
okay, babe.
But I think that you did a wonderful job, the same as Frank did. You know, using the vernacular and having it all summed up, and you know, from what I heard about Mr. McGonagall, is he wrote about just very plain and ordinary things. And you wrote about Edinburgh, and you know, or Edinburgh, sorry. And you put it in, you brought up the points that you wanted to make. But you didn't get into anything like grandiose, you know. And I thought that was, I guess, a great tribute to him, I would say. You know, I love the, not many cities have a castle in their midst. In the center of the environs on a hill, we a garden there where there used to be a moat, dank and deep, muddy and brown, a watery barricade, so that nobody could ascend the crags to hell, to kill. Listen to me, God Almighty. See, I can't even read it in English.
For going to hell there. Or I'll go to hell tonight.
Aye, laddie, aye.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. We have to end up with humor tonight there, Jean. I mean, Phil, tonight we have to do a few of these.
I need a little bit of drink in me so that way I can get it straight. But I think it was a great job, Kate. I really do. I think that you definitely, how did I write it? John. Oh, shoot. I deleted it.
Damn.
I'm telling you, I'm needing to take that.
The funny thing would be,
just well
I
done.
I think the use of these words, yeah, really well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I love that word. environs. I love it. I don't know why.
So
I just do.
That is a good word. That is.
Yeah.
I'm glad you were inspired, Kate. And I would like to say thank you to being here and co-hosting with me. Thank you to you, and thank you to Jean and Naomi for being my twisted sisters. I'd like to say that I hope Naomi feels better soon. Thank you to Frank and Laurent and Peacock for all calling in and joining in the fun. Thank you to Jamie and Pee-wee for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. This has definitely been a wonderful and fun show. And Weaver, would you like to say anything in closing?
Yes, I would basically like to echo what you've said. Thank you to everybody. It's such a difficult thing sometimes to put yourself on a screen with your thoughts other people are going to look at. So they're very brave, and they did a beautiful job tonight. I loved it. I really did. Everybody, thank you, and thank you everybody that's with us now on the panel. Great fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Jean, would you like to say anything?
Thanks, everybody. Sorry I was late, but a wonderful show, and lots of fun poetry that I've come into since I got here. Great choice of show, great prompts. Kate, I heard you were responsible for that. Wonderful choice. Pam, great contest as always, great poetry. Thank you everybody who lent comment, voice, and or write. And yes, and keeping it brief, tomorrow at 1. Hope you all be there. Thanks. I'm quiet.
I'll be in spirit.